John said, I must decrease, he must increase. I decreased down to 154. I guess I may be getting pretty good running shape. It's great to be here, and I hate to come afflicted like I've been, but we're looking to the Lord to help us. I don't sleep at night in camp meetings much because of the people, but now I'm not sleeping because of one people. That's me. I've been in the furnace for 6 months, and the Lord has worked for me while I've been in it. Some people came to me and fixed some things they needed to fix that would not have come if they hadn't thought I was going to die. And I'm glad they came. One of them said he won't ask me to forgive him. I said, son, my house is full of that. His house stays full of forgiveness. You can get forgiveness from the front door to the van right there. Me sick and in trouble, all right. And he said, I don't have no job. Said, I can't get no work. And you can't hardly buy a job over where I live. Don't believe that story about the economy in Oklahoma getting up. It's still going down. No, the economy in Oklahoma ain't getting up. Amen. It sure ain't doing it. But, you know, I said, I'll pray for you, and God will give you a job. Prayed for him, got a job, make $500 a week in 3 days. There's folks tell things like that so they can print it in little papers and make folks think they're great people, but I'm telling you the truth. I changed my message the last 13 minutes sitting over there. I went to Savannah last year to preach in the camp meeting, and the Lord gave me, I thought, plenty of messages, but he left one out. And I got looking, I got down there and got counting how many services I was going to have to try to preach and how many messages I thought I had. And you know, it's one short. But he knew what he was doing. He knew what he was doing. We had one of them gully washers, we call them in Oklahoma, chunk floater. Have mercy, it got away from us. Everything went haywire. Everything went backwards. God got a hold of it. We just had to turn it loose. Turn it loose. You know, that's what happened when Solomon built that temple. The glory of God come down and had to back out of it. Glory of God come down and the ministers had to back out of it. If I could sing, I'd sing, talk about a child being born again, it's real. Talk about a child being born again, it's real. Talk about a child being born again, it's real, real, real. It's real, real, real. Down in my soul is one thing I've got. That's a born again experience. I don't sound smart, I never have been. If you're preaching anything greater than salvation, you're beside yourself. If you're preaching anything as a greater experience than salvation, you don't know that book. I've heard folks hold experiences higher than salvation. They ain't no experience higher. What did God give his son for? Huh? What did they nail him to the cross for? He came to seek and save that which was lost. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. You don't have to add nothing to it. You don't have to add anything if you've been convicted of to that. Just go into all the world and preach the gospel, the good news. The good news to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be S-A-V-E-D. Ain't nothing no greater. When you say grandpa died saved, that's good enough. Amen. I want to tell you something else. You said you're saved. You're still dabbling around. You ain't talking about the saved I'm talking about. He done a good job, didn't he? He come to save his people from their sins. You run around saying half cuss words and smoking and flipping and flirting, but you just ain't sanctified yet. You ain't saved good yet. You ain't saved good yet. I ain't got time to preach on sanctification. I started before you get saved myself. And have chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. I told some people, thought they're stout on sanctification. They said, Brother Moore, you don't teach it like we do. I say you can't go to heaven without it, and you say you can. I say when old things are passed away and all things have become new, you've got to have some sanctification in it. Somebody said you're washed, you're saved by the blood and sanctified with the blood. How silly can you get? Colossians 1:14, in whom we have redemption through His own blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Somebody said that's acts of transgression. 1 John 1:7, if we walk in the light as He is in light, we have fellowship one with another. The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleansed us from all sin. They said that was Adamic nature. Come on, you've got to have blood for sin. You ain't going to get... Amen. You just saying what you say to please somebody, you better study that book. Huh? And have washed us, Revelation 1:8, from our sins in His own blood. Ain't nothing take away sin but the blood of Christ. Make you whiter than the driven snow, and suffered without the gate, that He might sanctify the people with His own blood. You're saved by it and with it. Amen. Life of the flesh is in the blood. You shall offer Leviticus 17:11. The life of the flesh is in the blood. You shall offer it up on the altar as an atonement for the soul. For it is the blood that maketh atonement for the soul. Shed all the tears you want to. That won't make any atonement for the soul. Huh? It's the blood. The blood. His blood. His blood. His blood. That ain't my message. I had a big old long message this morning, and that went from me, and I've got another here. I'm going to talk a while about it. I hope I don't get long-winded. At home, before I came here, the Lord is my witness, I stood 15 and 20 minutes in my church and turned that service to someone else and went in that Sunday school room and lay down on that cot. That's all I could do. That's the best I could do. And I made about 2 or 3 services yesterday here. If you see me crippled on that knee, I don't like to cripple. I don't even like to act like I limp. But I fall on that thing. It goes out from under me sometimes, and I fall. I don't know how come me to, but I'm going to tell you all why. We've got folks, if Jesus Christ and God comes into you and takes up their abode, you've got some sanctification in there. Huh? Amen. You see, I preach it stouter than lots of folks do. I say, you better get somebody if you're going to go to the world. I talked to Havis Crawford one day on sanctification, and I said, Havis, is holiness and sanctification kin to each other? Are they close to each other? Are they anywhere kin to each other, holiness and sanctification? He said, they are, Brother Moore. Well, I said, what do you mean when he said, follow feet with all men and holiness without which no man shall see the Lord? You better get your little sanctification over here in Virginia. You ain't going to go where God lives if you don't.
Besides, he's just saved. He's still beating his wife. He's just saved. He needs to get saved.
Why, you can't preach God's Bible, have the backbone of a red worm. No way you can do that. I remember R.W. down there in Arkansas. Bless his heart, a good sanctified man. I loved him. He's gone to the glory world now. Let's be around 100. And the old boy said, I can't hardly seek the Holy Ghost for searching myself for a cigarette when I get in the woods. He said, I got to have it so bad. I had it that bad. God will loose you from it. Don't give God up. Give tobacco up. Don't give God up. Give tobacco up. You got to have it this morning. Don't feel lonesome. We all had it. Just about all of us old boys had it. Hang in there. You can do it if we can. Don't get mad and quit. Go to the altar and hold on. Stay in there. I couldn't quit it, so God delivered me from it. Swear off of it and be back on another brand in 2 hours. I mean, that's the truth. I had as bad as anybody. This old boy had it bad. He said, Wayne, I've been trying to get loose. Said, I can't hardly seek God for searching myself for a cigarette, get in the woods to go to pray. And get home of mine and just go search myself, see if I've got a snipe in my pocket somewhere. He said, you ain't got the backbone of a red worm. Made him mad enough to fight, but Wayne wouldn't fight. Thought it all the way home. Got in the back room and prayed too. God sanctified his soul right good and he got the Holy Ghost.
Amen. Now there's no charge for that. Proverbs 25:11. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in pictures of silver.
I want to talk a while about right words this morning. But didn't John do good last night? He won't do no better while he's here. I'm glad to see the interest in the altar. If I had a theme for the morning, what part I do in this meeting, in the day service, it would be move up a little closer. Like the Lord dealt with me at home, you tell him move up a little. I began to seek the Lord seriously. I thought I was before I got sick. Hours and hours and hours, 120 nights of no sleep at all. And the Lord come to me, and he said the reason that people cannot touch me is they're so far from me. I said, you mean our good, wholeness people that live good? Yes. They're so far from me. I thought of Daniel. 3 weeks he prayed. 3 weeks until he finally got the answer. But let's move up a little closer. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pictures of silver. Look at Hosea 14:1-2. The Bible said, O Israel, return unto the Lord thy God, for thou hast fallen by thine iniquity. That'll knock you down. You talk about something, put a nation down, iniquity will do it. Something with our home up, iniquity will do it. Thou hast fallen by thine iniquity. Take with you words. Turn to the Lord and say unto him, take away all iniquity and receive us graciously, so we will render the cares of our lips. Take with you words. I'm going to talk about right words a little while. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pictures of silver. You ever hear anybody say he said the right thing? He said the right thing. I wish I'd have thought of that. I know a boy I read of went to visit a feller. The feller come out to see him, hadn't seen him for 2 or 3 years. He said, would God thou hadst arrived day before yesterday, so you'd have had longer to stay. I said, I wish I'd have thought of that. I'd have told him any soul that drove up my little yard at home, I wish you'd have got here yesterday, so you'd have had longer to stay. Wish you got here last week, so you'd have had longer to stay with us. Mike Roberts, if you don't listen to me, you're going to get it. I'm going to preach on right words this morning. I'm not always said the right thing, but I have a time or two. I've disarmed the fellow a time or two because I said the right word. We'll talk about the right word this morning. Take with you words. Now, we don't want to offer right now. We're going to try to gather up some words this morning. Right? Take with you words. I don't think B's in here. She's working for the camp meeting. She's this side. There she is. She waved at me. First time she waved at me, and I don't know when. We flew down on an airplane. I hadn't been able to stay up over 45 minutes at a time. It took us 16 hours to get here. I tell you, I like to walk myself to death up and down the halls of that airport over here. A bad storm delayed us, and then we had to hold us in a holding pattern, and then they took my luggage and put it on that little plane I was supposed to get on and fly up here to Tri-City, and they sent my luggage up here and bumped me off of it and put other folks in my place and waited 10 o'clock that night to put me on another. And I wasn't on standby either. I wasn't supposed to be bumped off that plane. But I got bumped off anyhow. And you know, I just said all that to say, B is with me, and I'm going to say I'd rather fly with her as anybody ever flew with them alive. That's about the second time she ever flew an airplane. But I'm sure glad I come down here with her. She rubbed my back while I sat hitting in chairs and it hurting so bad like seven eyes. And she rubbed my back and helped me. It's not the great choice of words, or the great amount of words, it's just the right word. Now, I felt like the Lord changed me after I sat out here, because there's some people right here that needs to do some right words. You've done a lot of things, but you need to take with you words. I will arise and go to my Father, and I will say to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and in your sight, and I'm no more worthy to be called your son, but make me as one of your hired servants. Go get the fatted calf out of the stall. That's what we've had that calf here for, is this wandering boy. He's come home at last. You sing it, don't you? I believe I'll go back home. I believe I'll go back home. I believe I'll go back home and acknowledge I've done wrong. You heard it. What have I gained by sin, he said, but hunger, thirst, and fear. My Father's house abounds in wealth, and I'm starving here. I believe I'll go back home. I'm going to lay all my old pride down. I'm going to lay it down. I'm going in and say, I've sinned against heaven and in your sight. And I'm no longer worthy to be called your boy, your son. Just make me the hard servant. Every morning when you see us, if you speak to the servants, you speak to all of us, and we'll go to the field. You don't have to single me out as your boy. Just a hard servant. He said the right thing. Let's talk about some of them things. Thanks. Thanks. I wrote down a few words that come to mind over in Oklahoma the other day, and one of them was thanks. And I notice here in Luke 17 and 11, the Bible said it came to pass as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Now this is the prince of preachers. This is the one that eat his breakfast off of the fig tree. He didn't have McDonald's or Hardee's or nobody to cook for him. But he came to town one morning. The Bible said he hungered. And behold, there was a fig tree in the way. He looked on it for figs and couldn't find it. He fixed his breakfast, but there were no figs on it. How do you like that kind of evangelistic work? Christ, because nobody asked you home to eat, Mike. He eat his breakfast off a fig tree. Now, nobody asked him to eat with him. That's making quick minister, wasn't it? I don't know why I'm singing Mike out, but I sure do like him. I sure do like him. Thanks. He met certain men that were lepers, 10 that were lepers, and they stood afar off. Why did they? Because they had an incurable disease. In those days, if you had one like leprosy, you had to holler unclean. Yes, today, just let them mix right in amongst the school children and teach them and anything they want to and give it to anybody who will. If people lay in the hospital bed this morning, and it's actually unlawful in the place they're in to tell what's wrong with them. Laid right down there at Savannah, Georgia, in the hospital with the AIDS right there in that bed, and wouldn't let nobody know what's wrong. Wouldn't let them know. Against the rules to say what's wrong with this person. Well, I just throwed that in, but I've got my opinion about the shape we've got in. But these unclean men hollered unclean. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and saw them, and they shouted at him. They hollered, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Right word. You're talking it right now. You remember that Syrophoenician woman that wanted the devil cast out of her daughter? I don't know how she knows she's devil-possessed. We got folks in the church that don't know the Spirit of God from the devil. I got in a place a while back, and somebody's hollering and screaming, obey God, let it have its way. Well, if they let it have much more of its way, it's going to tear the altars up and knock the windows out. If they egg that thing on much more, it's fixing to break somebody's neck. Amen. But that woman knew her daughter had a devil. And she asked the Lord to help her. He says, not fit to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. Truth, Lord. Yet the dogs under the table eat of the master's come. But this same, he said, go thy way. The devil's gone out of your heart. Said the right word, didn't he? For this saying, he said. You said it right. I love right words. I like what Winston said in World War II. Yeah. When the German looked like they were going to wipe the English nation out of existence, he said, we shall fight them in the air and on the sea and on the land, and I offer you nothing but blood and sweat and tears. It stirred the blood of every Englishman. No pension. No pension. I offer you nothing but blood and sweat and tears.
I like what we said to Germany in World War II. When they declared war, we said two words, so what? Jesus healed him. And I want to get to this thought. And one, after he healed him, one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back. It was a loud voice, glorified God. You know what Jesus said to him? Go show yourself to the priest. And as he went, they were healed. You were healed because you did what he said. You may not have to go as far as it looked like you'll have to travel. But start. If he tells you to go, you start. And you get it on the way. One of them seen his healed. All them old sores is gone. I can move them knuckles now. And he turned back. And he fell at the feet of Jesus. And with a loud voice, he gave him thanks. He said, thank you. Right words. You know all some mothers in this building need from their children is thank you, Mama.
Yeah.
Now, I feel like the Lord dealt with me to preach on this because I was going to tighten up on folks that is right in here. And I hope before I quit, there'll be somebody to make a stroll across this audience to Grandpa or to Grandma. Tell us how they love us.
All right.
Wish we had Claude here to say you love me. Somebody come to camp meeting and ask, was Claude Ely here? This camp meeting. So, that he's been gone a good while. He's dead. Claude Ely. He loves me. Thanks. Thanks. I didn't used to know how to do that. I used to be so ignorant, and I'm still pretty, not too far from ignorance now. But used to when people brag on my singing, which just between you and I, I've been off key and out of key, and sung another tune to the song. It's still the one that it was wrote in, but I got by with it. Used to when people said, you preach real good, Brother Moore. I said, give God the glory. And the Lord rebuked me and said, don't insult their intelligence. If they didn't want to say that, they wouldn't have said it. Say thanks. Amen. Just say thanks. Thank you. Amen. You know how to do when folks give you a shirt, David? Just say thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Amen. Thanks goes a long way. Do you know it? You ever forget to say thank you? I have. We're going to preach on the right word this morning. Only one turned back and thanked the Lord. He didn't charge him nothing. Man, you could spend everything you had and lose your home with leprosy and never be one bit better. Jesus healed these, and one turned back and thanked him. We're dealing with right words this morning. You're tired, and I know you are, but we're just getting started, so we got to keep going. I know that you're in the Job 6:25, you might be interested in Job 6:25. How forcible are right words, but what does your arguing reprove?
Oh,
right words. How forcible are right words? You ever have anybody set it straight? When he got through talking, you said, there ain't nothing else left to say. When she got through talking, you said there ain't nothing else left to say. That fixed it. That straightened it out. Right words. I notice here, you're right, I wrote down. You're right. How forcible are right words? Sometimes what you need to do, boy, is just say, you're right.
You're right.
I have nothing else to say. You're right. Had a boy work for a place and come in and said, I'm quitting the job, Brother Moore. That's why you're quitting for. You can always do that. He said, because the foreman's doing me wrong. And you think because he's a foreman, you don't have any other alternative. I said, that's not right. You go into the man that owns the company. You sit down there with your head on now. You keep your wits. You tell him a story before you quit. Tell him what the foreman did to him. Well, he did. The man that owned it said, don't you quit. You let me check this out. And if what you're saying is right, we fix and do some changing here. You know who the next foreman was? You guessed it. You guessed it. He got the job. You're right. Just right words. How forcible are right words? They just seem to, I put down here, I put down here, you win. That's not easy said sometimes. But up or down, you win. Just acknowledge someone else won and you lost. Listen, I'm headed for you and didn't plan it. But you're here.
Yeah.
You win. What's it going to take to get you to be willing to say right words? Amen? I put down here, you win. You won. You won fair and square. You beat me. I know when David got healed of cancer, and still is. Last year they wanted to put him through a very severe test. You couldn't even touch a book that he'd read in the room. They burned him. I don't know what all they put in that boy, but they wouldn't let you touch things that he touched. Put him back through it. After God healed him when he's 19 and he's 42 or 3, he'll have to tell it. Anyhow, they put him through it last year and come out and said, David, you don't have cancer. They jumped at the chance to put him through it. He couldn't be all gone because they didn't believe in God's healing, but they said, you don't have cancer. God healed him of it 20 years before. You win. I put down, I love you here. I put down, I love you. And in John 13, I want to read you something. In John 13 and 34. You've heard this. You've seen this. All right. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. As I love you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you have love one to another. That's all this morning that somebody's waiting on, is for someone to say, I love you. I love you. Some poor mother, old and gray, sets the window in an old folks' home. It's not even a card, but if they'll just walk in there and say, I love you. I love you. A word fitly spoken is like out for the golden picture of silver. This morning, I just certainly feel like that we need to be a little choicer with our words and see if we can't put right words in action this morning and get something done. It's not money. I'm not talking about money. I'm not talking about gifts. I'm talking about right words. Right words. It's just to be willing to use right words. I love you. I love you. One boy said he told his wife, he told her that once. Been married for years and years. You need to tell it more than that. Amen. You need to tell folks that you love them. You need to tell folks that you love them. We were a family that wasn't given to hugging and kissing a bunch. And I'm not knocking that, but Dad and I, we just maybe touched the shoulder, touched an arm. We didn't embrace as much as I wish we had. But this morning, we're in bad need of someone to say, I love you. You mean in the stinking condition I'm in? Yes, I love you. You mean after what I've done? Yes, I love you. Now, I have had trouble in life remembering that my children owe me anything. And really, through the years, and there's been many of them, we actually talk about hundreds and hundreds of dollars. And I have trouble remembering that they owe me. Still do. You know, we just got back three or four years ago a little income tax deal, and just so happened one of my children owed that much. They owed what we got back. I say, ain't that the Lord working? I take what I got back and give them to pay what they owe. That makes us even, don't it? I said, that makes us even, Terry. That makes us even. I love you. Boy, come over to camp meeting one year at Bristol, and I heard his wife was sick out there. I heard his busted and didn't have no money. And out there, I said, let's check this out. We checked it out, and he didn't have nothing. Made him up $300 or $400. I don't know what the Lord has. Don't misunderstand me now. $300 or $400 bucks. I said that wrong. I said it wrong there. You see, because I'm like letting on. But I mean, I didn't think that we had done anything great. $300 or $400. I didn't think we'd done nothing great. But that's great, you know, but still I didn't. I walked in, I said, "You're pretty low, ain't you, buddy?" He said, "Well, I'm in a trial, Brother Moore." I said, "Well, look it over good while you're there, because we're fixing to bring you out of it." I said, "Look that place over real good, because we're bringing you out of it." All it took was a little love in the hearts of the people. I love you. Old boy drove in the campground and said, "I got here, Brother Moore." I said, "How you got here?" "They ain't got no reverse, pulling the big old long house right away." I said, "Can you go on up and turn that corner and pull it right in around and pull it up there?" He said, "I can pull it in there." I said, "I ain't got no reverse." People loved each other. I told him, I said, "There's a man here, the transmission's out. And he's evangelist traveling." I said, he can't get off the ground. He can't back up. I said, "Transmission man, what it takes to fix it?" He said, "We can patch it for." I said, "We ain't talking about patching it. We talking about making it like new. So it'll go anywhere. It'll work anywhere. You know, all I had to do is just tell them folks that had God's love in their hearts. Don't tell me you love God, you're going to be mean to nobody. You ain't gonna be mean to nobody if you love God. I don't care what they've done to you. You ain't going to try to get even, put a hex on them, or try black magic on them, hocus pocus, diddly eye, dope stuff on them. I mean, if you love God and you love God like you ought to, you're going to love them. Actually had to stop the people from giving money. They give so much, we could have bought two transmissions. I said, that'll do old Bill. He's down Central Nail right now, pastoring. Yeah. Alabama. Want to talk a while about right words. I wish I was better shaped fish. Still couldn't preach no better probably, but I'd probably be doing a whole lot more demonstrating than I am. Wouldn't you like to see a good old husky deacon get up in the deacon's meeting that's been kind of grouchy and fussing, you couldn't hardly know. "Say, I love you, boys," and tears just run drip off his chin. Just drip off his chin. "Say, I love you." I had a precious old elder. He said, "Just fix it like you want to." I said, "You be at the meeting." "And I can't make it. Whatever you boys decide will suit me fine." I said, "You be there." He said, "I can't be there." I said, "Now." He said, "Whatever you do." I said, "You be there." "We done whatever we done." He said, "That ain't the way I was going to do it." He wasn't there. Right word. We had a job down home. Bricklayer laid up brick on the boy's house and come out, settled up with David a few years ago, and David owed him $50 more and they had settled up. And his wife stand there, and she come from this country. Many, many, many years ago, the first camp meeting I come to, her kinfolk was helping cook and work in this camp meeting. Bobby. And Bobby said, husband said, if I'd have them over for supper tomorrow night, that'd fix it, wouldn't it? David owed him about 300. She's a wise woman. She had a lot of things. She said, husband, if I'd have them over to eat with us tomorrow night, that'd make us even, wouldn't it? He said, wife, I wish you would stay out of my business. I like that kind of talk. Any kind of words make peace and not war. Did you hear what I said to you? She's going to settle that $200 or $300 debt by having David and them over to eat with them. And David's the one that owed the money. I like that kind of talk. We have folks in churches. They think the only way in the world to have a Sunday school class is to disagree over verses and to bring up controversial issues, something the teacher ain't studied on for 6 months, and bring that subject up. I had one in a church, he was this kind. He always liked to ask questions that couldn't nobody answer. Could God make a rock so big he couldn't move it? He can do anything he ought to be able to. He is full of that. Endless genealogies that gender strife, he had them. Always studied to ask something you'd never thought of while you lived. Nobody else had ever thought of it. Amen. Bring it up. I'd have to go back and tell them, leave the teacher alone. They studied on water baptism this week, and they don't know everything in the world about every word. I'm going to talk a while about right words this morning. You can start talking right when you get ready.
Yes, sir.
I'm talking to you.
Yeah.
You can start talking right, and you're going to fool around to die, and you ain't going to have no chance to talk right. Thanks. You're right. You win. I love you. This is a little touch right here, but this is for all the boys and men here. The men, the married boys, married men. I wrote down, "You're beautiful." Now, I'm going to tell B something else. Never done it in 41 or 2 or 3 or 4 years of marriage. I forget just how long we've been married. I always get mixed up on that. Yeah, tell them things for me. But I can tell you this and be honest. She is the one most beautiful woman that ever walked on the face of the earth.
Yes, sir.
She may not think I mean that, but I do.
Right.
She looks prettier in her clothes than any woman that lives in Virginia.
Come on, Brother Moore.
I never seen another woman coming down the aisle I thought looked pretty she did.
Right. You're talking to her.
Did you know the Bible said in Genesis 29:17 that Rachel was beautiful? It's not wrong to tell somebody they're beautiful. Amen. Your little old girl work on her hair till she give out. And you taught her not to cut it. And she has time with it. Tell her she's beautiful. Tommy, tell them they're beautiful. God, tell them they're beautiful. Amen. Bible said in 1 Samuel 25:3 that Abigail was of a beautiful countenance. 2 Samuel 1:2 said that Bathsheba was very beautiful. Why did the Bible say it? Why did it record that? Well, it's because we ought to pass it on. Amen. Brag on beautiful things. Say something about it. Write words this morning. Right words this morning. Did you know that I wrote down from Luke 6:37? Don't tell me the Lord ain't dealing with you. Don't tell me the Lord ain't dealing with you. How long are you going to keep that stubborn spirit? You ain't going to be willing to say the right thing. You know what to say. You know what to say. I'm wrong. And you're right. You win and I lose. Here in Luke 6:37. Judge not and you shall not be judged. Condemn not and you shall not be condemned. Forgive and you shall be forgiven.
Oh, yeah.
You want God to forgive you?
Right.
You forgive.
You're talking to us today.
You want God to forgive you? You forgive. Tell you one thing, I'll never forget that old boy. Well, you ain't going to go where world then.
Right.
You ain't going. I don't care what you done, you ain't going. I seen a picture of the white man with a colored boy. He's a big old colored boy, about 6 foot, grown man. And I looked at him walking down, he seemed happy. I seen a picture of him, his beautiful countenance. They both looked happy. I wonder what that is. This big old black boy had knocked that man in the head and robbed him. Go to the hospital, had all his head trouble. Like lost his mind. Had to go to prison, the black boy did, because he done it. And this old boy done it too, was a Christian man. They hated that black man. They hated him. Think of him, they hated him. Talk about him, they hated him. Wish he's dead. Jail, he ought to been killed. Well, not put him in jail, ought to kill him. But one day while I was praying, the Lord said, you can't do that. You must forgive. You go to the penitentiary where he's at. You ask permission to see him. He went out there and he's out in a little exercise park throwing ball with the boys. This black boy was. They let him go out there. That black boy come to meet him. They asked him to come. Want to meet this man. He got so close he recognized him. Fell on his knees and crawled to him. Said, I'm sorry, Doug. He wound up getting that fellow out of there and let him come and live with him. That's forgiven, ain't it?
That's forgiven, yeah.
I wish I had the activity about me this morning. I'd just take a run and hop and fell like a rabbit. And you ain't going to forgive over a sister that just didn't shake your hand because she didn't see you. And you're going to go away from church in a meeting talking about the church because everybody didn't just make over you like you some Jim Dandy from all the way off something. God love you, honey. Forgive. Stuck his tongue out at me. Why, that ain't bad. Lord, you probably ought to have your tongue stuck out at you. That ain't bad. That ain't too bad, is it? Your tongue stuck out at you. That could be worse than that. But you know, I've actually seen folks come to church just having pouting fits at each other. Wasn't a thing in the world of what this is pouting and having fits about. Couldn't get in church. Couldn't enjoy the meeting. Sat there the whole service and couldn't say a word and go home, pal, all the way home to each other. Why, I just burnt the biscuits. You'd have burned them if you'd have cooked them. You ain't never cooked no biscuits, have you? I've never seen the like of foolishness. If we could get, we like the doctor that Dr. Dover Greenwood, Arkansas, said he'd get rid of all the people that didn't need no pills or shots. He'd have time to doctor the sick, but they wouldn't let him. He said he couldn't hardly turn the money down. They just wanted a shot, didn't need it, but they'd always had one every week. He told a friend of mine, if I could get rid of these folks ain't nothing wrong with, I'd have time to doctor the sick. How much forgiveness have you got this morning? Well, my wife, one old boy, said down in Oklahoma, he never had failed to open the car door for his wife for 30 years. I ain't never opened it. I ain't never opened it. How long are you going to pout because he didn't get you to lead the song? Forgive and you shall be forgiven. Jesus said it. Don't forgive us, you got to be forgiven. Forgive. Talk about the right word this morning. When you going to break open, come on, do what you know is right. Come on now. I'm talking right to you. I'm 64 myself. When you going to break over there? Lay that old stubborn thing down. Break over there. Break over there. I missed it. I'm sorry. I'm the man. I'm the woman. I'm the boy. I'm the girl. And not the preacher or the deacon, but it's me, oh Lord. Standing in the need of prayer. Not the preacher or the deacon, but it's me, oh Lord. Standing in the need of prayer. It's me. I wish you'd do like this morning. We're going to come this off. But I wish you'd do like that old boy was in the meeting. Me, he said. Around here and wait till we have to carry you to the grave, knowing you never said the right words. Carry you to the grave. Don't you die lost. Abraham and Lot. Genesis 13 and 8. Abraham was such a wonderful man. Hard to read anybody like Abraham. My, what a wonderful man. 13 and 8. Abraham said to Lot, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee. Between thy herd and my herd, for we are brethren, is not the whole land before you. Take the real estate you want. You take one way, I'll go the other. You lead out, and you go one way. He didn't disinherit him. He didn't tell him leave because he didn't love him. He proved after that he loved him. Yes, sir, Abraham loved him. But stop this strife. He said, you take one way. You know the attitude some folks has got. They ain't going to say no right words. They'd rather it had burned down or destroyed or ruined or caused people to go to hell before they'll say the right words. Amen. We are a stubborn bunch of children. We are a stubborn bunch. If God don't help us, we're going to be so stubborn we'll never say it right and be lost over it. I know it didn't do it right, but I just ain't going to admit it. You ain't getting worse at that. Amen? You ain't getting worse at that. A preacher friend of mine run a red light and had a wreck down home. And the old lady he run into said, did you know what you done? Yes, ma'am. What did you do? Said, run a red light. Old lady come up. What's going on here? She said, ask him. Police said to him, what happened? Said he run a red light. Took his hat off, scratched his head. 20 years on the force, and the first man I've ever met that admitted he is wrong. He said, 20 years on the force, he's the first man I've ever met. He said, have a cigarette. She said, don't you know he don't smoke? Can't you tell by looking at him he's a Christian man? My friend called his insurance agent and told him, I'm at fault, I run a red light. Hit Miss So-and-so. You hit who? Miss So-and-so. Who? Miss So-and-so. Her two brothers are the biggest lawyers in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Said it's a good thing you admitted your fault. They'd sue us out of existence. Them fellas, they're mean as snakes. And if you won her favor, you've done something great. She wouldn't turn it over to her brothers at all. Said the man's a man of God. And he's told the truth. And his insurance company fixed my car. They had just perched there waiting to land on that. Right word. I run a red light. Did you? I don't admit it. Run a red light. Your mind's telling you what you've done and what you have not done. Now listen, I'm dealing with more than one here. I feel like if somebody says I'm just after you, I'm after you with all them others. Now, we're going to try to move up a little closer. Amen? Who knocked a hole in that? It wasn't me. Well, I don't remember doing it. Did you ever see a whodunit? I was over at the post office in Newcastle, Oklahoma, and there sat one about that big around. Funniest looking little old creature. Never had seen a whodunit. But that's what wrote on it, and it had a face on it, and it whodunit. Wasn't me. I don't know one day. I don't know who caused all the trouble. Sure wasn't me. We can't even find them educated lawyers we've got in Washington. Ain't nobody knows what caused the deficit to be like this. Virginia, I read in the paper where after having a surplus last year, you're going to have to cut maybe a million or a billion and a half off, and they don't know how they're going to do it because they have a surplus. Who got it? Where'd the surplus go? Who caused all the S&L mess? Bush's boy, he ain't the only one, surely. Billions and billions and billions. We can't find out who's guilty or who done it or nothing. We need somebody to say, I'm guilty. I take your hand because I think you're guilty, but you have been a time too, ain't you? Me too. We need you. You hear about the message I preached on California on importunity? Anybody can tell it means important. Did you pronounce it? Importunity means importance. I caught it right off. Didn't even have to go to the dictionary with it. 21 years old, Benny. I preached on importunity. It means important. You can tell. You don't have to look at the dictionary. You can hear the sound of the word. Importunity means important. Preached the whole message on God anointed with the Holy Ghost. You say he didn't. Why, if he had another backslid, sure he did. You think every time you feel good, God's blessing because you've done so much? No. Just blessing to keep you running.
Listen.
You think God's blessing because you think the best there ever was? No. Just blessing you. Because he wants to encourage you and help you run on.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen. You thank God bless you because you quoted the Bible right. May have quoted it like me. You might have preached it wrong. But he blessed you because he loved you.
Right.
I went over to Deacon's house a few days later. I'm going to pray. I want to come to the altar. I want to pray with you, Father. We're going to try to say some right words here. Try to get this straightened out. How many things need to be straightened out? Gobs. And what husband right here needs to lean over there at the wife before they come down now to the altar here in a little bit and say, honey, forgive me. I didn't treat you right about that. That's hard to do sometimes. But if you're going to go to heaven where people's right, you got to do right here.
Amen.
Fellow said you got to belong to the do right church. You got to do right. You got to talk right. I ain't gonna have time to get into a great lot of other stuff here, but I'm going to leave that out. But Abraham said, Lot, you take that way. Whatever you want, I'll take the other. T.E. Long's house burnt in Alabama. Did you know T.E.?
Yes,
T.E. Long, one of the greatest men I ever met. When he's 80 years old, they wrote him and said he's sick there. He wants you to pray for whether he's going to live or not. I went to prayer and God, when I went to prayer, I said, prayer bells of heaven, oh, how sweetly they ring. Bearing the message unto Jesus the King. Heaven. The Lord said to him, he's going to die. I'm bringing him home. I wrote him a letter. He took it to the woods. He took it to the woods, laid on the ground. I said, you're going. You're such a warrior, God's going to have to drag you off the field. You're such a warrior, God's going to have to drag you off the field. But he's bringing you home, taking you home to you. You'll be gone just a few days. He said, if it's like Brother Moore said, and not the will of God, it's all right with me. And it was, and he went on. But before T.E. left, he and his wife, they lost their house. Burnt down. I'd slept in that old house. Double fireplace. Opened in the two rooms. When he caught a fire that night, he saw it on fire. He jumped up and woke her up. And he said, now get up, wife. Don't get excited. But set the house on fire. And you get out. That's what we've got to be. He was just blazing back in there. Run outside. His old shotgun and fired in the air to draw attention. So neighbors would hear something was happening. Too late. Lost all of it. Right words. Sitting across the road the next day or two in the son-in-law's house, looking over at the foundation where the house had been. He and her both. One of the grandsons come up and said, Grandpa, Grandma, I need to talk to you. They said, talk, son. He said, we got everything we wanted out of that house. Of all the things Grandpa could have given him, the old shotguns and all the pictures and all the hand-me-down, he said, we got everything we wanted out of that house. I wish I could think things like that. You know, words just fix things sometimes like nothing else will. And I'm going to close out here and ask you to show me that you mean business. Let's move up a little closer. Let's move up a little closer. Brother Moore, hardest thing I've ever done is go say some things to folks. I know it gets pretty hard to do sometimes. But you're going to do it or you're going to be lost. You're going to do it, or you're going to be lost. You can't live in life amongst us and me amongst you and not forgive and not confess and not say it right. Amen? Don't be stubborn. If you're here this morning and there's someone here you need to speak to, speak to them. If your wife, your children, maybe grandson, maybe you need to go to Grandpa. And tell him you love him. Granddad, maybe you need to go to grandson and tell him you love him. Maybe neighbor, you know, I pastored a church where there's two fences that close together. There wasn't but 3 or 4 inches between the fences. Brother Gay was a fine man in the church, and he said to the neighbor man, the older man lived there, wasn't a Christian, he said, you build a fence and I'll pay half of it. I'll build it and you pay half of it. We've got to have a fence. He said, build your own fence. I'll build mine. Well, Brother Gabe built him a fence, and the old man built him one. About that far apart. One day the old man died. The day he died, before the sun went down, that old widow stood there at that fence and said, Brother Gabe, tear one of them down. Tear one of them down. All those years, he wished that fence was torn down. I wish somebody would say, tear one of them down this morning. If he owes any more than the bill runs up while I'm gone, I'll pay the rest when I get back. That's what God wants us to have. Carried a stranger into the place and said, now, patch him up and bed him down. And you know it, boys, you know me, I come here all the time. And if the bill runs any higher than what I left you, I'll take care of the rest of it when I come back. Never any reimbursement. Never any hope of getting it back. Have I helped you this morning any at all? I want you all to stand. And I want to see who's brave enough to lead the way down here, cell and move up a little closer. I ain't been saying the right words, ought to said. I left a bunch out, ought to said, and said if you hadn't ought to said. I want to see if you'd be brave enough to step out of there. I'm preaching primarily to the church in this meeting, and my theme is move up a little closer. Are we going to have to sing a good while now to get your notion? Or are you just going to move out there and say, I'm going to obey God? I don't care what anybody thinks. Make no difference what anybody thinks about it. I'm making moves at that altar because I'm headed to the judgment. They're going to lay me in a casket a little bit here, and I want to die ready. I don't have the preacher have no problem over me when I'm laying that casket. How about it? Just one? Just one. Two? Three, four? You want to move up a little closer? Now listen, some of them need to move out of there and ain't moving. Some of them need to move and ain't moving. Right words. Right words. God bless you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Hallelujah. Let him help you this morning. Let him help you, young lady. Let him help you, old man. Let him help you. God loves you. We love you. Come on.